Let us pray then the children can go to their churches. We thank you, Father, for this morning and for also your grace, Lord. You've brought us to moments like this where we put the stick down and declaring to the whole world on Sunday mornings like this that we belong to you. It has pleased you to gather us. Thank you for helping us to convene in safety and in your grace this morning. Father, thank you for the prayers that have gone ahead. It is time, Lord, for your word. It is always time. You are speaking before we decide to do the sermon. You've been speaking to each of our hearts. But as we in one spirit come together to look into the perfect law of liberty, Father, we pray, Lord, that only your word will come forth. Bless all of us teachers at this moment who are about to teach, that we may glorify the Lord, that the word may be clear to us, and it may be received with gladness by all your children. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The children can go to their churches. Happy New Year, and praise the Lord. There's this song. Can you help us put it? I like us to start with singing. This song is sung at, I don't know why it's sung at funerals, because I don't really think it's a mourning song. It's Abide With Me. I don't know who decided that hymn must be a funeral song. But somehow, I remember when I was growing up, we sang Abide With Me on the assembly line. When I grew up and I discovered it's one of the select hymns at funerals, and suddenly I remember there was a time I started singing it, and someone said, no, that's for, did anybody die? No, no. But no, I find the word of Abide With Me very compelling. I think it's a prayer song. And I like us because the sermon today, really, as I've been thinking, and during this praying and fasting, I've been asking in my heart, Lord, what is your word for us? We had gone through putting together a very elaborate bulletin for prayer and fasting. But what I've known is that everybody that reads the Bible reads nothing. And it's deliberate that of all books in the Bible is one that you hardly find anybody who can remember everything in order. It's a spiritual song, book. What God means, the way he communicates to us is line upon line, precepts upon precepts. He gives us our daily bread by the day. There's a word for every day. So I've been saying to the Lord, what is the most critical thing in our lives, both as a pastor, as an elder, as a brother, as a husband, as a wife, as a worker? What is the word? And the word that's been coming to me, and I've been meditating on it and trying to memorize, it's getting a little tougher to memorize, is Psalm 91. And I'd like us to talk about Psalm 91 today. And I pray that we'll talk deeply. I pray that there will be a verse. I pray that will not be labor points. I will not weary you with words. I pray that God will drop a message in our hearts. But first, let's start by singing Abide With Me. And I don't want you singing it as a familiar song. I want you to look at the stanzas and the words and sing it as a prayer. So if we could just rise for a moment and sing this song. Believe me, it's not funereal. It's a good hymn. The man who wrote it did not mean it to be sung at funeral. He meant it as a prayer. And I like us to sing it another. I don't like the way we sing hymns. I think we sing hymns too quickly, and we don't remember the words. So we are left only with the melodies every time. But I like us to sing the words. So slowly. Abide with me. Fast. Please, I like us to sing every syllable of it. Sing the words. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness even I'd like us to stop for a moment. Let's stop. We're going to consider. If you don't feel the darkness deepening, you are not in the spirit this morning. If you don't feel America crumbling, if you don't feel 63 million youths without jobs and without a hope, if that is not a crisis with us this morning, then we're not living in the world that Jesus lives in. If you don't feel this morning as you drove to church that Christianity is failing and we're not touching the vast majority of people, that our light is not shining as it ought to shine, if you don't feel that as we sit in the privilege of Christ this morning, there are some people going to the mall without a hope. They are going to die in their sins. If you don't feel that there's deepening darkness, then you are not in the spirit on the Lord's day. If Christ were to be here this morning, he would not be so much concerned about us and our wonderful clothes. He said those who are well are not in need of physicians. He'll be worried about the different chimneys and rooftops that we passed before we got to church this morning. I dare say that he will look upon us and say, you're my children and you're okay. But in Sudan, in vast swath of humanity this morning, there are wars and pestilences. There are women who are watching their husbands being killed. They are God's children. When the Lord takes the bird's eye view of the world, he sees women who are abused. He sees the whole of most of northern Nigeria in darkness. He sees needs that are beyond the needs that we see this morning. We see the needs for jobs and health. I read a story once. I read a book. I read a book about the former UN ambassador, US ambassador to the United States, Samantha Powers. I read her biography. And she talked about a visitation that she had to a war zone. Was it? Where was it? I think it was Sudan, actually, where a woman told her that her son had just been beheaded by Mujahideens. And she went and gathered the head of her son. She went and gathered the head of her son and buried it with her own hands. And I said to myself, in the same morning where the greatest problem I have most days are whether it's going to be swallow or rice, there are people burying the heads of their children. We are privileged people. And the Lord has given to the church the great assignment of being the light of the world and shining his light to the whole world. We have a job to complete. We represent Jesus in this generation. The darkness deepens, and Lord, with me abide. This morning we had teach me to number my days. While we were praying, during the fasting and prayer, I think it was Sister Kemi that said, we need to be more hungry for salvation of souls. If you do not think there's darkness and you look around your family and you're not sure that when the trumpet sounds, you'll be able to reclaim all of your daughters and your sons, that we will all meet at the feet of Jesus, then we're not living in the world that Christ is living in, because I reckon that Christ is not worried about constitution this morning. The Lord is not worried about jobs this morning. The Lord is not worried about food and drink this morning. All of those he naturally provides. He's worried about souls. And as ambassadors of Christ, this morning I pray that in our fasting and prayer we'll have a sense of a crisis. Nothing happens unless there's crisis in our hearts. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for 33 years was in crisis. He will look and he will begin to weep. And people will think, what are you weeping for? You are able to raise the dead. You are very famous. Why are you weeping? He says, and he will say to them, because the harvest is very plenty. The laborers are few. When all the helpers fail and comfort flee, help of the helpless, who abide with me. When I think about these few verses, what do you think about? Think about, see, there will always be problems. What I think about is I look at 2019.
And I look at how helpless I was to persuade my co-workers about the life of Jesus that is to come. I look at the number of lunches that I had, and I looked and I sermonized and I reasoned and I, from logic, reasoned from philosophy, reasoned from scriptures. And my co-worker will look at me blandly and say, that is your truth, not my truth. If they were Iranians, they would say to me, that is Christianity. We don't believe in that. And they are heading to a certain death. And I was helpless. All other helpers failed. As a servant of the Lord, as I left 2019, my greatest disappointment is, Lord, where are the souls? Where is the power to persuade? Where is the power of brokenness? I don't measure my success in 2019 by the fact that, glory be to God, people say they bought homes. We all have homes. It's house that we buy, not homes. Not by promotion, not by salary. How, relative to the calling of Jesus Christ, have I performed? Say, if the salt has lost its saltiness, it's useful for nothing but to be cast down and trodden upon by men. This is why they sing it at funeral. Sweet to his gloves, flows lightly today.
As joy grow dim, his glory pass away.
Change and decay
in all around I see. Abide with me.
Change and decay all around I see. I see gray hairs. I see pot bellies. Change and decay all around I see. I knew everybody here when they were young and sprightly. Change and decay. Look at Baba Adibo. Look at Bra Sunday. Look at Bra Bumi. Look at Bra Bumi. He used to be able to stand throughout prayers all the time. Now I notice he needs to kneel down and rest this. Change and decay all around I see. But more prophetically, how many more days do I have to serve Jesus? And what will I hand to him when I see him? Will it be a school certificate that I will hand to Jesus? Will it be children who have been called to live their own lives, who I cannot keep? Will they be my treasures when I see my Savior? It's 2020. Lord, New Covenant Church, what have we offered you? Have we changed America yet? That's the helplessness that I feel. What is your helplessness? I've seen money come and money go. What we're here to see is the glory of the Lord, is the power of the Lord, the things that Christ really came to earth to do. Is this a new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself, my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me.
Do you not need Christ to abide with you? It's January. January is the month of our strength as we wait upon the Lord. Will February, March, April, May, June, July, and August be exactly like last year's? Weariness from our labor, ineffectiveness, too tired to pray, too tired to reach, too tired to evangelize. Is that how this year we end? That verse says, I need thy presence every passing hour. May this be the year when we leave home every day with the power of the Most High God.
Amen.
Not with the urgency of our labor. not with the urgency of the schedule we must run, but that we live on the wings of grace. In Psalm 91, please be seated. Psalm 91, it says, he that dwells, let's reopen that psalm together. Say, he who dwells. People ask us Christians, what is our secret? How is it that we can live every day as a Christian? David tells us here, say, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the same shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a secret place because it's a special place. It's not a common place where you merely call yourself a Christian. As the Lord laid down the plan for the tabernacle in Israel, he partitioned it into three special places. The outer court where you will hear the bleating of the goat, but also there was the altar, the brazen altar. All the altars of sacrifices were also there. So there was religious activity carrying out, being carried out there. All the tribes of Israel had access to the outer court. Then there was the middle court that only the sons of Levites had access to. And then there was the holies of holies. He who dwells, not in the common place, but in the secret place of the Most High, he it is, only him. And I think all our experiences are born to the truth, testimony to that truth, that only those who consistently dwell in God's healing secret place dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. Many times we have dwelt in the outer court, that is Sunday services, perfunctory reading of the Bible, superficial prayers, general orthodoxy, whatever it is, religion in general. And we have since learned that as February and March crawled one after the other, we lost the sense of the presence of the Most High. We have tried to wing it. We have tried to pray about it. We've done all kinds of things. We have even prayed, Lord, help me to be faithful to you. God says, stop praying. Because there's a secret. You abide. It did not say those who visit and live. Those who dwell, who live, who are permanently in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. You cannot testify that your best times in Christ were the times when you were intimate with him. The Lord said, there's no doctrine, there's no prayer that can remove this principle. If you want to feel the everlasting peace that we have been fasting for, if you want to feel the sukkah that you have been fasting for, that place that you have left, go back there. And God testifies that as many as are born again this morning know that what we're saying this morning is true, because you've tasted it. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the same will be the one that will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. When a Christian removes himself or herself from the secret place of the Most High, then you have to rely on your learning. If you remove yourself from the secret place of the Most High, then you have to rely on 10,000 steps a day to keep healthy. If you remove yourself from the secret place of the, then you have to rely on your toil and your labor and your profession and your wisdom. But David had all of this. Eloquent poet, great administrator, great war strategist. But in all of this, he did not trust. He trusted. He said, in that verse 2, he said, in God alone he will trust. Surely, as we dwell in his secret place, he will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence.
We're afraid of germs. We're afraid of diseases, pestilences, noisome pestilence, the snare of fowlers, enemies at work, enemies at play. But provided we dwell in a secret place, he said he will deliver. He did not say they will not attack us because they must do their job. But he says he will deliver us from them. And he will cover us. How wonderful. Have you ever left home feeling truly covered by the feathers of the Most High? He's speaking here in very flowery language. Psalm 91 is not literal. I mean, when he says you step upon scorpions and adders, of course it did not mean you should go and start looking for, like I heard that some man in the Bible did, looking for lions, trying to prove Psalm 91. That was his name. Right. He forgot that Daniel wasn't looking for the lion. It was the lion that was looking for him. And Satan also tried the Lord Jesus Christ with Psalm 91. When Satan read, he will give his angels charge over you. So he tried to use that to tempt Jesus, to tempt God. And the Lord said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. So the psalmist here used flowery languages to express the protection and the peace. Do you want peace every time you step out to go to work this morning? Abide. As we are fasting, what the Lord will do for you, has been doing for you, don't stop doing it. Don't leave the place of security this year. You cannot go out and come in. You cannot come in and go out. May I preach without microphone? This way, only a few, and we still mic. Okay, thank you, brother. You know, this year, if 2020 will not be like 2019, you cannot leave home the same way. We cannot do the same compromises. You cannot trust in the same weapons. You have, as you are reuniting with Christ in fasting and praying, abide in that spirit. Abide in a place where most Christians do not dwell. Sister Wura taught me something on a Friday night prayer meeting. Reminded me of something the Holy Spirit always taught us. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 101. Oh, the people of the Lord want the presence of the Lord. Oh, how we fast. There are churches that are embarking of 30 and 40 day fast as we speak now. But nothing changes. I will sing, Psalm 101 from verse 1. I will sing of the mercy and the justice of the Lord. Oh Lord, I will sing. I will. Men, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. He that dwells in the secret place. Do you really, 1,000 days of fasting, 1,000,000 words of prayers cannot bring what we have been fasting for unless we listen to these words. Said, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Not I will walk in church with a perfect heart. Within my house, where only those who love me know me, I will walk before God with a perfect heart. And this was a man that was seeking for the Lord. He said, Lord, when will you appear to me? We are seeking for the Lord. We must have the same reserve that David had. You know where you haven't been walking with the Lord? Within your house. You know what shows the Holy Ghost has been talking to you about as Christians? That you have been resisting for years. You know what food he has told you to stop eating. You know what clothes he has told you to stop buying. You know what attitudes and what words that he has told you to abandon in your secret place. Brethren,
If for 40 years we've been walking with the Lord and we have not gone to the secret place, if we have been praying and weeping, it's because we have not taken the step to remove all of this abomination. The blessings will not come until we abide in the secret place of the Most High. A perverse heart shall depart from me. Verse 4. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. His eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who walks deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. What have you resolved, Psalm 101? What have you resolved to do differently this year? Brethren, as we fast and pray, Psalm 1. The church prays easily, I mean by generally. Say, why do we pray, Lord, and you do not answer us? Why? Why isn't there a change? Why do we preach and people do not get born again? Why? Why, Lord? Why? Why has nothing changed? Psalm 1, we all know it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you know more book, general knowledge that you know the Bible, in whose counsel are you walking? We're walking in the counsel of Socrates and Plato, in the counsel of New York Times and BBC, in the counsel of, in my case, CNN. But upon his law he shall meditate day and night and be careful to do according as it is written in it. That is the only way, Christians, that you are going to make your way prosperous and you are going to have good success. Oh, you will have successes. Oh, you will build houses. You don't need the scriptures to prosper on earth. No, the most prosperous people on earth are not Christians. I wonder at times when I see all these oil sheikhs, I see Dubai, I see the wisdom that put it together, I see the city of London, and we Christians deceive ourselves and say, or America, and we say Christianity built this country. No, Christianity did not build Rome. God gave secular intellect to secular men. They knew how to do drainages, educate their men. They had foresight about education. They had foresight about equity and law. They had foresight about all of these things. Most of these men did not worship Jesus. But only Christianity can bring peace. We can build. Only Christianity can bring. Only Jesus, our Lord, brings peace. And it is that peace that he says, I come to give to you. It is that peace that he tells us to go and give to the world. No matter how brilliant, how smart, how rich you are, you cannot buy joy. But he that dwells in the secret place. This Psalm 1, the Lord is saying to us this morning, you need to memorize it. We cannot continue to sit in the seat of the scornful and stand in the path of sinners and walk in the counsel of ungodly people. Walk in the counsel. Our daily schedule is dictated by people who do not have the kingdom of God at the foremost of their mind. No, we must be driven by Christ. That is our call as Christians. It's a special call indeed to represent Jesus in the earth. He said, that is the only way. He said, if we are like that, you will never be dry this year. If you are like that, you will not find yourself irritable at work. If you are like that, they will speak evil about you and you will bless them in return. If you are like that, they will compel you to run 1 mile and you will find the grace of Christ to take an additional one with them. But you must start in the morning with Jesus and you must sleep at night with Jesus, and Jesus will minister to you throughout the night. We must abide and dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And you know, if you're of Christ there, you know that secret place. Christ has given you the grace to live with him before he said you left. 10,000 days, I repeat, of fasting will not do it. Obedience will do it. Praise the Lord. He said, if we do this in Psalm 1, verse 5, will be verse 3. Will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season. The leaves also shall not wither, and whatever we do, we prosper. The fundamental things of being born again, we are called to return to it. We cannot replace those things with religion, brothers and sisters. God loves us. God loves us. He must return to truth. In Psalm 91, it says, his truth will be my shield and my buckler. His truth will be my shield and my... No matter what anybody says to you this year, we ought to say, what does God say? For every reaction, we ought to say, what is the truth of God regarding this? And as we put God's word in our hearts, as we... Christ said in John chapter 15, abide with me and let my word abide in you. He said, without him, we can do nothing. You cannot do programming without Jesus. Not the Christian way. You cannot do lawyering. Not the Christian way, at least. You can do a lot of good works, but you cannot do righteous works without Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing inherently within us except the Spirit of God that enables us to do these works. So those who dwell in the secret place, that is where we want to be this year, brethren. God says there's no shortcut, my children. That is God saying, my children, right? You know, say no shortcut. Fasting will not replace simply obedience to Christ. Sin must be sin to you. Let's move away from iniquity. This morning we sang that you are holy. And we sing about God that he's holy, as though he's the only one that ought to be holy. As his children, ought we not to be holy? Let holiness be your theme this year. Very few people are in the secret place of the Most High. Very few people. I understand all of them have peace. The place of the secret place of the Most High is a holy place. It's a place where you said, I'm a Christian, I can't do that. It's a place where you don't laugh at crooked jokes. It's a place where you're so set apart from the world. So come out from amidst them. We read that in our Bible reading this morning. And be separate. Touch not the unclean things, and I will be your father, and you'll be my sons and my daughters. You see yourself differently in the secret place of the Most High. This is the call of God to us, brethren. We don't want to be in the middle court. You don't want to be the Sunday crew. You don't want to be the ethnic. You want to be those who are ready, that God can converse with. You want to be the one that when you go, they know already, this man will not do this one. Not only that, they hate you. Because he said, though they may speak evil about you, let them see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The secret place is where we meditate upon God's word day and night. We pray to the Lord. We commune with him. We act on his behalf. And the Holy Spirit testifies that very few Christians are in that place today. Psalm 34, read the whole psalm. Psalm 27, read the whole psalm. David again and again tells us the benefit of having intimacy with the Most High God. And he did. And he could testify to that. Praise the Lord. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I will read the rest of the psalm and then we'll close. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from verse 3, and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. This is where we go, amen. But the answer to that prayer is dwelling and staying in the secret place of the Most High. We cannot take the latter verses without the first few verses. And I pray, Lord, the Lord will grant to us the willingness and the strength to abide under his shadow in Jesus' name. Amen. Nor shall any plague come near you. With God in our lives, directing our lives any day, every day, we needn't be afraid of sicknesses and plagues because he's in control. People in God's secret place don't even think about that. They feel the very presence of the Most High as they step out of their homes and come back. They know God is in control of everything. Daniel was in the secret place of the Most High. He was not threatened by the threat. He was not terrorized by the threat of the king. He threw his window open in an atmosphere that was worse than Saudi Arabia. And as was his practice, he said his prayers three times. After reading the edict from the king that nobody must do it, he wasn't thinking about his head being beheaded. I don't think he wanted his head beheaded either. He just wasn't thinking about it. He just had a presence. He had someone within him that was greater than all of these circumstances. He wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not flattered in the palace of the king. You know, some of us, when we get to the palace of the king, we're so flattered we forget who we are. Right? We begin to eat the food that he gives to us. You know, Brother Sunday, I'm not talking about dinner. Wait, I'll do dinner with Buhari. I'm not talking about that one. But when we get to our offices and we're having conference, we're so flattered because they made us director of something. Before we know it, we forget that we already have the best position on earth. Oh, what wonderful things to be described as children of God. What higher title can you ever get? It doesn't get better than that. All of us freely have been ordained the royal priesthood of the Most High, a holy nation, peculiar people, sent forth to show off the praise of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Mighty One. There are few of us. It's a privileged position. The environment does not affect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They looked at the king and they remembered the law of Moses because they were dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. They remembered, in a strange land. Some people say, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we be Christians in America? How can we do evangelism in America? How can we do this in America? But Daniel said, I am not going to partake of the, because Moses said I should not eat this kind of stuff. So while the rest were focused on being fat and looking healthy, at the end, and being smart, and being brilliant, and speaking their language, and competing for perishable crowns, these four Hebrew boys were focused on the kingdom of God. And they said, you know what? We cannot violate the law of our king because of this. We know we have to turn out smart and fresh. Just give us salad. No dressing, please. I'm watching my calories. So they ate leaves. And so I don't know whether, I assume it was salad. I don't know what it was. They did not know they were going to turn out fresh. There was no guarantee. All they knew was that they were dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and the Most High God was with them. These were boys. They were not boys that graduated from seminaries. They were boys in captivity in a strange land, in a pagan land. But they remembered. There were only four of them. I don't know if there were more, but the Bible mentioned only four in the secret place. And Psalm 91 was fulfilled for them because the mouth of the lion was closed. anywhere you are, are you going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? All this noise will not affect us as we do that. May the Lord grant to us the grace. As I meditated on this, what the Lord revealed to me is, Wale, that's the way I interpret it. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's religion, and then there's dealing with God on his own basis. You go to churches where they can pump you up, make you recite some psalms, tell you the secret of 7 days fasting and praying, dry, no food, no water. Good luck if you survive it. Bamboozle with the doctrine of divine health, healing without medicine. But hardly do you find churches that still speak about the holiness of God and the character of Christians. There was a time that our first gift to the world as Christians was character. I understand that there was a time that in all cultures, they were looking for Christians to hire as accountants because they knew if they hired a Christian, their books would be in order. It's no longer the case. There was a time that our confidence as Christians, the way we won our battles was by prayer. Now, our prayer meetings are sparse. I say, if we are not praying together, how are you winning your battles, brethren? How? How are you? I thought they said one will chase 1,000 and 20,000s, then 10 will chase more, 100 will chase more. How? It must be that you are using tools of the flesh. There was a time that no matter what they told us, when they told Esther that you must appear before the king to appeal on behalf of the Jewish people. What did Esther say to them? Go and declare prayer and fasting because my neck, it's at stake here. This year may we win by the grace of God. I did not say this year may you win. We all win. We have marvelous jobs, wonderful lives. By the grace of God, our children are healthy. Not only us, many people around us in America have the same things. We're looking for a special kind of victory. Our confidence in the deliverance of God is not that we are delivered, but is that God heard us. Everything God does is, no matter how much deliverance you have today, one day you will lay down your life and they will bury you. No matter how much prayer and health you have, just like the sick person, you will die and you will face the judgment of Jesus Christ. The special thing that we seek daily is not just that we may have all of these victories, is that our relationship with God may be strengthened. The Bible says, and he performed many signs and wonders so that they may believe. We forget that second part. What you ought to seek for this year is an intimacy with the Most High God. You ought not to seek, Lord, help me to get where I want to get. What you ought to say this year is, Lord, as a sign of maturity, take me to where you want me to be. So when you were young, you sought the things you wanted. You went everywhere you wanted. But when, oh, New Covenant Church, will we get to a point that we are old enough and we stretch out our hands and for the sake of Christ, we'll go to places that we don't even want to go? Seek a deeper relationship with God. They say people hear the voice of God. Say, Lord, you are my Father. I want to hear your voice. Some people will receive the gift of cars this year. They will receive the gift of money. Say amen. The gift of money this year. They will receive the gift of promotion. You are not saying amen. They will receive the gift of promotion this year. They will receive the gift of health this year. There will be scholarships this year. There will be wonderful things this year. May we know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. May we be made conformable unto his death. Lord, may I not remain the same. Give me Benz 3, which is the highest Benzes. Give me a job that pays 10 million naira today. I cannot be much happier than I am. Those who have it are not much happier than I am. I look into their face, well, yeah, not. I don't have. you all are poor people. No, none of you has 10 million. Yeah, you have to start working on it so that I can use someone as example. But when I read about them, they don't have a mother. They die like mere men. But give me a man who is filled with the Holy Ghost. There's not a man like him. There's not a woman like him. Give me a man that dwells in the secret place. A man who can rejoice when they're insulting him. A man who can say, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. A man who can bless when they curse him. A man who can walk righteous before the Lord. A man who can put iniquity from his eye. A man who can forgive those who despisefully use him. Tell me, how do you learn those traits except by the power of the Holy Ghost? Houses and inheritance you can inherit from parents. Only by the power. Is this what we want? Or do you want 2020, 2021, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, they are 60 years old now, 29, blah, 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 now you're 70. Do you want every year to end exactly the same way 2019 ended? Would you be able to end your life and say, Jesus, I've lived a life maximally to your glory? Sincerely, would you? It's time to seek for deeper things, brethren. It's not hard. By the grace of God. It just means God is not leaving us blind. The things that the Holy Ghost is telling you this morning, let's make it the year when we don't put them aside. Let's walk in obedience. He will lead us by the rivers of water. He will establish our ways himself. Whether we turn to the left or to the right, he will tell us this is the way walking. He's just saying to us, stop ignoring my voice. Stop praying to me as though I'm a God who cannot do wonders. Stop telling me only what you want. Pay attention to what I want. He's a holy God. You be holy, even as your heavenly Father is holy. Put away from you bad things. Put away from you compromises. Right? He did not say, come and dwell in the noisy place of the Most High. The churches and their big, and their structures and their ceremonies. And God is not there. God is in your heart. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. He's within you. He loves us intimately and he saved us one by one and brought us to church. We're not Christians because we're in church. We're in church because we're Christians. Jesus loved us. Not that we loved him, but he first loved us. I pray that most of us, all of us in this place, will recognize the voice of the shepherd. We will make it our personal ambition to walk with Jesus in a very personal way. We will not forget the scriptures we read. We will spend time with the Lord today. Throughout the year. We will step out of our homes under the wings, under his shadows. We will be kept under his wings. His truth and his buckler will uphold us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Father, make us totally different, Lord. We have tasted and have seen that as long as we sit outside, he said, you'll be corny with those who are corny with you. It's in your word. Father, please don't be corny with us. Help us not to treat you as though you didn't know, you don't know what is going on. You are the Lord. He said, because he has made the Lord, who is my God, even the Most High his refuge, that no plague, no evil will befall us. Father, everywhere we go, help us to actually make you our refuge. To listen to you. To hear you, to withdraw ourselves at the sound of your warning. Within our houses, our homes, to behave ourselves with a perfect way. Help us to allow your peace to reign within us. At times we drive away your peace by the choices we make. The choice of ambition, inordinate, the choice of selfishness, covetousness. And you keep telling us our peace does not lie in this direction. But we ignore it, hoping that with all of these things we have more peace. But Lord, it has not brought us Jesus, our peace. We return to you, Lord, this morning. Help us to enjoy Christian things. Help us to enjoy your word. Help us to enjoy kindness. Help us to enjoy sacrifice. Help us to seek after spiritual gifts. He said we should seek spiritual gift, not money, not positions, not the pride of life, not the pride of the flesh. Help us, Father. Your secret place that never makes New York Times editorial pages. Your secret place. Your secret place that picks fishermen over professors. Your secret place. Remove our stubborn hearts, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In New Covenant Church, I pray we will grow as a body and rejoice in you. Let your truth be our shield and our buckler. We ask all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.